Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Let me ask you a question. Would you want the original, whatever it may be, jewel, gold, precious stones, original truth as given by the apostles, original teachings as preserved in the Bible? Or do you want a substitute? Now, one of the greatest sins of mankind is this. They like to acknowledge God. They like to have God on their side. They pray for God's blessings. But they want to improve upon God. Question: is God perfect? Yes, he is. Is God righteous? Yes, he is. Is the word of God true? Yes, it is. And God cannot lie. Is that what you want? Or do you think you have the ability, or any other man has the ability, to add in traditions to improve upon God and his holy word? This is the question of Galatians. And it also answers the question that Peter could never have been the first pope. And so what we are going to cover in this segment of Church at Home answers those very questions. So as we go through it, I want you to think about the religion, Christianity, that you know of. I want you to think about the practices of those churches. I want you to keep in mind how they react to all of the scandals and lusts and sins that have been found among them. And then we will see, what about the Apostle Paul in relationship to the Apostle Peter? Now, Paul was especially called by God and was taught personally by Jesus Christ in visions and directly when he was in Arabia for 3 years. Let's see what Paul says about his apostleship. And we will see he doesn't give any subservience to Peter. And as a matter of fact, you're going to be astonished at what Paul did to Peter publicly, and also realize this: the book of Galatians, in some of its details, are some of the hardest and most difficult to understand. This is why you need the book, Judaism, a revelation of Moses, or a religion of men, because you cannot understand the problems in the book of Galatians without understanding about Judaism. Now, let me also say something else that's very important as a preface here. There was no argument, even close to the Protestant-Catholic argument during the Protestant Reformation. There is no question that the laws of God are to be kept. And there is no question that the misinterpretation of Protestantism and also Catholicism concerning the interpretation of law in the book of Galatians as to doing away with the laws of God. It has strictly to do with the laws of Judaism. There is no Protestant-Catholic conflict here. And so to read that into the book of Galatians is the greatest mistake of Protestantism and Catholicism, and that is how they reject God. God says, "My righteousness shall never be abolished." Protestants say, "Jesus abolished the law." Now, who are you going to believe? Now, some people don't like to hear things in that manner, but we're living in an age where people better start paying attention to God, and they better start getting rid of their myths and lies and doctrines of men. And Galatians proves that. Instead, men come along and misinterpret it and say, that does away with the laws of God. Well, tell me now, can you make an edict and outlaw the law of gravity? If you can, then the law of God has been done away. But you can't, so it hasn't been done away. But every tradition and every law of men against the Bible is null and void and has no standing before God. And until you understand that one fundamental thing, you don't have a clue as to how to begin to understand the Bible. Now then, let's read what the Apostle Paul said here. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle not sent from men nor made by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches in Galatia. Because there was a huge problem of Judaism sneaking into the church. And we will see what happened between Paul and Peter when he was confronted with that. Let's go on. Grace and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Directly from God. You see, the truth is, God wants everyone to have a personal relationship with Him and Jesus Christ. God the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave Himself for our sins in order that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory into the ages of eternity. Amen. Only the Word of God and only the truth of God and only the righteousness of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can deliver us from our sins. The world has all of these, you know, how to improve yourself, a better personality, and all this sort of thing, and that's all carnal and not from God. They have many principles which are true, but none of it is going to lead to salvation. New Age religion, as espoused by some of the leading people, even like Oprah Winfrey, are null and void and are sinful in lies. This world is in the grips and right in the hand of Satan the devil. Question, do you want out from that grip? Do you want the real true freedom of God the Father and Jesus Christ? Well, that's why church at home, and that's why we are covering the things that we are, because it is so absolutely vital for people to know, to realize, to understand, so that they can repent, so that they can come to God, so that God can be in their lives truly, not having a religion of men. Let's see what Paul says about religion of men, or religion of angels. Let's read it. Verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly being turned away from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. There are many gospels out there which are not from God, but claim God. Use His name, but misquote Him, misinterpret Him. What about you? What gospel do you believe? You've probably never been turned to the true gospel. So we're going to help you with that. Notice what he says here in verse 7, which in reality is not another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and are desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ. Change it. Add to it. modify it, make it soft, make it easy, make it summary, make it palatable. Isn't that wonderful for men to do? It is blasphemy against God. Let's see what Paul says about that kind of thing, because you need to understand this, because it comes right to the heart and core and the foundation of Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. If it is not built on Jesus Christ, it is another gospel. If it is not teaching the truth and love and faith of God, it is a counterfeit. And those kinds of things will never bring you eternal salvation. Let's read on. Verse 8 is key. But if we, that is the apostles, or even an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you that is contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed. Think of that. What do you believe? Who are you following? Are you blessed or are you cursed? And remember, Satan always brings a benefit that looks like a blessing but ends up being a curse. That's why you have to judge everything by the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. Cannot be any other thing. All right? Verse 9, he repeats it. Now understand this, when it's repeated in the Bible, God really means it. Verse 9, as we have said before, I also now say again, if anyone is preaching a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. Now think about that. Where do you stand? What do you really believe? Verse 10. Now then, am I striving to please men or God? Or am I motivated to please men? Now notice this next sentence. Because every minister, every priest, every bishop, cardinal, and pope better listen. For if I am yet pleasing men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Well, think on that, because you preach smooth things, you preach lovely things, you preach good things. Oh, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a great event in Rome, right near the Vatican. Thousands and thousands and thousands of motorcyclists came to St. Peter's, so the Pope could bless their motorcycles. Isn't that lovely? That's a religion of men. Here's the lesson. Paul said, for if I am yet pleasing men, I would not be a servant of God. And a servant of God is to proclaim the truth, cry aloud and spare not, and show my people their sins. You look at any one of the prophets in the Old Testament, were they loved? No, they were hated. You study the book of Jeremiah and see what happened to him. You study the book of Ezekiel and see about him. Let's go on. Verse 11. I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached by me is not according to man. Neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it by man. Rather, it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct when I was in Judaism, how I was exceedingly persecuting the church of God and was destroying it. Yes, he was an out-and-out enemy of the church of God, God the Father and Jesus Christ. But God called him. Now, we won't go into all the calling of the Apostle Paul, but he called him for a special reason, and that special reason was so that Judaism would never take hold in the churches of God. And that is the problem of Galatians. Now, notice what he says here. Verse 14, and I was advancing in Judaism far beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more abundantly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. All right, the traditions of men are set in opposition to the word of God. That's why no religion can substitute for the truth of God, not even those that claim to be Christian. So, after he was called and taught, he didn't confer with flesh and blood, although he went up to Jerusalem, and he became acquainted with Peter, and he stayed with him 15 days. However, he didn't acknowledge him as Pope. And also, verse 19, he met James, the brother of the Lord. So James was really the one in charge in Jerusalem, not Peter. Now, chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I again went to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus with me. And he went up by revelation, and it was the question of circumcision. And it was a question of the gospel that Paul was preaching to the Gentiles, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now then, let's pick it up here in verse 4, chapter 2. Now this meeting was private because of false brethren brought in secretly, who came in by stealth to spy out our freedom which we have in Christ Jesus, in order that they might bring us into bondage, that is, back into Judaism. To whom we did not yield in subjection, not even for 1 hour, so that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, this is important to understand. So he came to Peter, James, and John. We'll see that here. Let's see what happened in the meeting with Paul and Barnabas. Now, let's come to verse 6. But the gospel that I preached did not come from those reputed to be something. Whatever they were does not make any difference to me. If Peter, because he was in that meeting, were actually the first pope, Paul repudiated it. He said, no man can be above Jesus Christ and God the Father. No man can change the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to think about that. Let's go on. Whatever they were does not make any difference to me. God does not accept the person of a man. For those who are of repute conferred nothing upon me. So they didn't give Paul any hints as to how he ought to preach the gospel. Let's see what actually happened here. And let's see how Paul was designated and Peter was designated. Verse 7. On the contrary, after seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, exactly as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision. Peter never went to Rome because those in Rome were Gentiles and uncircumcised. Peter was to go to the circumcision. Let's see it very clearly, because look at all the nails in the coffin. Was Peter ever the first pope, and was he ever in Rome? Let's read it. For he who wrought in Peter for the apostleship of the circumcision wrought in me also toward the Gentiles. And after recognizing the grace that was given to me, James and Cephas, who is Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, affirming that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. How can you get around that? All on the same level. Peter was not an apostle of apostles like the Pope likes to call himself. No, indeed. All on the same level. All preaching the same gospel. Now then, Let's see what happened when Peter came to Antioch. Because Antioch, remember, that's why it's important to go through the scriptures. In Acts 11, that's where the first Gentile church really began, in Antioch. And it was Paul's headquarters. And it was a huge church. And they were troubled by those coming down from Jerusalem and Judaizing, trying to get them to follow the laws of Judaism, which was still intermixed with many of the Jews and leaders from Jerusalem. And even Peter got carried away with it. Now remember, Peter was sent to Cornelius, and he told Cornelius that God is not a respecter of persons. And he said that God showed him that he could come in and fellowship with any Gentile without having to worry about the laws of Judaism. Now, let's read verse 11, what happened when Peter came. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be condemned. Now, think about those words. Paul condemning Peter, who is supposed to be the first pope. For before certain ones came from James, oh yes, the half-brother of Jesus, he was eating with the Gentiles, as he did with Cornelius when he stayed with him for a number of days. However, when they came, he drew back and separated himself from the Gentiles, being afraid of those of the circumcision party. Politics. No. It's not a religion of men, but it comes from God. So they were trying to bring in Judaism, saying, oh, well, the Gentiles over here, you're second class, third class, fourth class citizens, but we who are Jews, oh, we're lovely chosen people. No, indeed. All are sinners and come short of the glory of God. Now notice verse 13. And the rest of the Jews joined him in this hypocritical act, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. How about that? How about you? Are you swayed by the opinions of men and women? Are you swayed by the clever arguments of those who appear to be righteous? Are you making yourself knowledgeable of the Word of God so you know how to rightly divide the Word of God, live by every Word of God, understand the truth? Now notice what Paul said to Peter. Verse 14, but when I saw that they did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of them all, open public correction of Peter. Now, do you think that any of the cardinals today would stand up and go right in the face of Francis I and say, Francis I, you're a hypocrite in front of a great assembly of people? Of course not, because it's a political religion of men. So here's what Paul said to Peter. In the presence of all, if you being a Jew are living like the Gentiles and not according to Judaism, why do you compel the Gentiles to Judaize? That is to separate physically. Because remember the first thing that Peter told Cornelius, that God had revealed to him that he should call no man common or unclean. And yet, what did he do? Right here, in the assembly of those who were the called out ones, when important people came down from Jerusalem, he played the hypocrite. And he reverted back to following the laws of Judaism when he knew better. See, the rules and traditions of men never make anyone righteous, and God never accepts them. That's the teaching of the New Testament. Peter was never in Rome. Peter was never the first pope. Emperor Constantine was the first pope in 325 A.D., and I defy you to find that listed in the succession of popes in the Roman Catholic Church. The whole doctrine of Peter, the whole doctrine of the supremacy of Peter, and everything falls to the ground in a great heap of lies. Now, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God and the Word of God? Now, some of these things get down to some tough choices. And if you think these are harsh words, stop and think for a minute. What have Christians gone through in the past? Was it easy sledding and coasting, or was it difficult? Were the words of Christ sweet and soothing, or were they like a sharp two-edged sword cutting asunder? And the same way with the Apostle Paul. Yes, there are lovely places in the Bible. There's the love of God, the faith of God, the grace of God. But you cannot partake of that if you are partaking of the traditions and teachings of men, regardless of what they say, because then you believe a lie, and the father of liars is Satan the devil. Now, those are strong words, but that is the truth from the Word of God. So once again, please visit our other website, cbcg.org, and download the sermons we have there. We have literally hundreds of them, so that you can be taught and educated in the truth of God. Thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.